This morning's gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. May the message of this parable and the love of the one who told it become deeply rooted within our hearts and minds. Again, he began to teach beside the lake. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the lake and sat there, while the whole crowd was beside the lake on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seed, and some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing, and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold." And he said, "Let anyone with ears listen." This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me this morning? God, we give you thanks and praise your name for this day that you have made and this opportunity for us to gather around the word and to come to the table. We are here, God, not because of who we are, but because of who you are and because of your gracious invitation to us. We ask, God, that we would set aside all of those things that are distracting us or that are clamoring for our attention so that we can attend to you and to your word. For it is the truth, and it has the power to set us free. In Christ's name, amen. So this parable that we're looking at these 4 weeks, the same parable, is a parable about flourishing, which is what we want to do. We want our lives to be fruitful. We want to bear fruit. We want to be people of abundance. We want to have lives that matter, that make a difference, that are filled with the things that God wants us to have. We want to be joyful people whose hearts are filled with love and kindness. We want to be generous. We want to be people who can offer forgiveness and receive forgiveness. All of these things that God wants us to have, to flourish, to be that good soil that produces that abundant harvest, that's what Jesus wants for us. But he's very clear that not everybody is going to have that or maybe not have it right away. There are different kinds of spiritual conditions in which we find ourselves at different times in our lives. And Jesus accurately describes these different conditions by talking about these different kinds of soils, these different ways that people either receive or don't receive what God has for them, and how different people produce or don't produce that wonderful abundance that God desires for all of us to have. Some people flourish and some people don't. And so we want to look at these other conditions, the things that are sometimes present in our lives that prevent us from having the kind of abundant life that God desires for us, knowing that we can change. Our soil condition can be improved. The hard ground that we looked at last week can be broken up and plowed and become that good soil. And so today we want to look at this second situation, the shallow soil, the soil that's filled with rocks. These are people that maybe show some evidence of spiritual growth or life or health, that they flourish for a short time, but they simply don't stand the test of time. We all know people like this, and some of us have been these kind of people, the people that simply aren't there when we really need them to be there. The people who make promises and they don't follow through. Folks who we thought we could count on, but then when we really needed somebody to step up, they were too busy or something else came up and we feel just kind of let down. We feel discouraged. There are people who maybe make that great first impression, but the second one isn't so great. We all know these kind of people, and Jesus says these are a prevalent condition that we all find ourselves. He says, the problem is these are people have rocks lurking beneath the surface that are preventing their roots from going deep. And, you know, eventually what Jesus says is in every single life, the sun eventually will come out and it'll get hot. And without deep roots, we're going to shrivel up. Jesus is very clear. Life isn't always going to be easy. It's not always going to be picture perfect fall days like this. There are going to be days when the conditions are simply going to turn against us. And if we don't have deep roots, Jesus says, we are not going to be able to survive and we aren't going to flourish. And so the question is, what can we do? And the first thing is to identify the problems, to identify the rocks. Some people are literally spread too thin. Their roots haven't gone deep into anything. They've gotten into so many things that they never go deep into anything. And so as soon as problems come along, challenges of one kind or another, they simply move to something else. They take on another hobby. They stop this relationship or they move to something else. They never go very deep. Now, we're going to look at this particular problem in more depth next week, that people have just too many things going on in their lives. But, you know, some very busy people can still be very productive people. I'm talking about people who are very busy, but they're not very productive, really. They simply live life on the surface. Do you remember the first board game that kicked off the board game craze? Trivial Pursuit. For some people, that's like their title of their life. Trivial Pursuit. Everything's trivia. We live on the surface of everything. You know, this is a real spiritual problem. When we find ourselves spending so much time doing things that really don't matter very much, you know, watching Netflix for hours, binge watching, you know, getting some little game on your phone that you're always like walking around playing, you know, candy something or whatever. Or, you know, the most ridiculous thing of all, fantasy football. I mean, by the way, Sermonator is tied for first place. I just want you to know. But what a waste of time. And we just go from all these trivial things and we live on the surface and we don't go deep into anything. Can be a problem. Other people simply don't want to go deep. They won't make the time. You see, there are rocks lurking beneath the surface of any worthwhile endeavor, the rocks of preparation and hard work. There was one four-letter word in the home I grew up in that trumped all the other four-letter words. L-A-Z-Y. That was the worst thing anybody could be, was lazy. Lazy people simply don't want to put in the hard work of preparation in order that they can flourish later on. They want the dessert, but they never want to make the dinner. You know, there's people like that who simply want all of the simple, easy, fast, quick solutions of life, everything to go smoothly, and they simply don't want to get down beneath the surface and do the hard preparation behind the scenes, get your hands dirty, smelly, and sweaty work that life entails. And until we do that, we're never going to have the deep roots that are going to really produce that abundant harvest. We might flourish for a short time, as Jesus says, but without doing the hard preparation, we're never going to get there. Everybody wants to go to the best colleges, but not everybody wants to do their homework every night. Everybody wants to play in Enoch's band up on the stage, but not everybody wants to take lessons and practice every day. You know, everybody wants to be the head of whatever it is, but not everybody wants to spend all those years of apprenticeship learning the hard way through things. This is a rock. And we know it, and when we see it in ourselves, we've got to do that. I had a friend who was a house painter. He said, that is the most ridiculous description of what I do, house painting. He says, you know how much time I spend painting? Like 5%, 10%. I am a house preparer. That's what I do. I spend all my time taking off the old paint, scraping, sanding things down, filling holes, replacing old boards. He says, 90% of my time is spent on the preparation, maybe 5, 10% at most putting the paint on to make it look really nice. He said, if all I did was painted houses, it wouldn't last. It would just peel off. You got to do the hard work in order to flourish and have something to show at the end of the day. My young friends, do not be deceived. Those things that are the shortcut and the easy way may look good on the surface, but there's nothing really there. We want to be people of deep-rootedness, and so we need to be willing to put in the hard work, the long hours, the things that nobody sees. Some people don't produce fruit. Their roots don't go deep because they try to do too much too fast. For some of us, the worst thing that can happen is to have a very quick success or to be so good at something that it takes very little effort. I don't have to even study and I get A's on all my tests. Wow, that's great. God's given you an amazing brain, but that can be a real curse. I'm the best one on the team and I don't even have to practice. You know, when things are too quick and too easy, we don't develop that deep-rootedness, that staying power that God wants us to have. Part of the problem is when we are asked to do too much too fast. It's not our fault, really. It's the people who ought to be supervising us or leading us or mentoring us who put too much on us too fast. This happens in the church all the time. I am so guilty of this. You know, somebody comes along and they are obviously excited and talented and, you know, just their faith is coming alive. And I'm like, get them, Maureen. Get them, Karen. Get them, Enoch. And then people are talking and asking them to volunteer for this and do that. And they get so excited about everything, but it's too much too fast. You know, we need to spend time saturating in the Word, being part of the worshiping community, learning how to pray every day, soaking in the Word of God. Often it takes a long time to mature so that we're ready when the call comes to do that great thing that God wants you to do, to invest yourself in something that's really going to bear fruit. It doesn't just happen right away, not just in the church, but in all parts of our life. For some people, that rock that's preventing their roots from going deep is a serious impediment. For many people, lurking beneath the surface of their lives are very hard and difficult things. What I'm talking about are wounds that have never really healed. Deep hurt, some failure, something that just knocked you off your feet and you've never really gotten back up. Some unforgiven pain, unconfessed sin, rocks, seriously hard things that are just down below the surface, and they keep tripping you up. Every time you think that relationship's going to work out, you don't quite get there. The job never comes through. There's something there that you haven't really dealt with. You've got to get rid of that rock, whatever that is. You know what I'm talking about if you have it. For some people, it may mean making that investment, making that call to your doctor and dealing with that thing, or a therapist or a counselor. It may mean revisiting a tough conversation that you've been putting off that you have to have. Till you get rid of that rock, address that situation, your roots can't grow deep. It's simply going to always be there. And it won't go away. We want it just to go away, right? We want it just to dissolve and magically disappear. But it just isn't that way. Jesus says, get rid of the rock so you can have that good soil. And you can really flourish. You know, going deep takes time. It takes practice. It takes effort. In every aspect of our lives. Jesus is talking certainly about our spiritual lives, about being those people who have joy in their hearts, even when our situation of life is trying to steal our joy from us. People are able to forgive, even when repentance hasn't been offered. People are able to serve, even when the people they serve don't appreciate what they do. People are able to be generous, even when their resources seem so scarce. You know, this is the kind of flourishing that Jesus wants us to have, and it takes deep roots. And we have to get to that place. I met some deep root people at a missionary conference I was at just a couple of years ago. John and Gwen Haspels are Presbyterian Church USA mission co-workers. They've served almost their entire missionary lives in Ethiopia. They recently retired. And Gwen and John told their story at this conference, and it's something that had such a profound impact on me. And I want to share in her own words, she wrote an article about it, what she said. Now, when she got up to speak, I was stunned to hear her voice, because she talked like this, so it was almost impossible for me to understand what she was saying. And I don't do that in any kind of a mocking way, but I want you to appreciate, as I read this story, how it sounded to me. On October the 1st, 2014, John and I were traveling to the remote village of Moga, Ethiopia, to build a house for the Wycliffe Bible Translator in that area. Shortly after crossing a river valley known as Chelema, the Valley of Darkness, we rounded a corner and a man clutching an AK-47 assault rifle jumped into the road in front of us. Not knowing his intentions, we kept going, and he jumped out of the way. As we passed by, he shot through the open passenger's window. The bullet hit me in the mouth, taking out 20 teeth and part of my upper left jaw, which splattered across John, causing multiple lacerations. Pieces of my teeth hit John in the forehead and put out his left eye. The bullet hit John's clavicle, breaking it, then ricocheted into the roof above his head. John was yelling, "I've been hit." As I turned to see where John was hit, I saw my reflection in the side mirror and the left side of my face was gone. I briefly thought, is this the last day of my life? I covered my face with my scarf and tried to help John. Two passengers had bailed out. The two remaining were yelling and wailing. We were weaving all over the road as John yelled, "I can't see." I wiped John's right eye to clear the blood dripping from his forehead, and the vehicle straightened out. We drove only a little way, and John asked me if I remembered the covenant I had made with my two daughters and an Ethiopian friend to pray only thanksgiving and praise prayers for the month of October. I nodded, and we both praised and thanked God for what had just happened. John thanked God for 65 years of good use of his eye. I reminded him that it was 67. We also both verbalized forgiveness for the young man who had just shot us. "Father, forgive him, for he didn't know what he was doing." Wherever we go to share our story, we ask people to pray for the young man who shot us. We talk about the miracles God did in keeping us alive and about all the people he set in place to help us along the way. But mostly, we talk about the power of gratitude and forgiveness. How do you forgive something like this? It takes practice. Long hours of practice before something terrible happens. God began to teach me about forgiveness when I was a young mother of two on the mission field and John was always gone. I remember the words of a friend who said that there are times we need to forgive someone who isn't actually doing anything wrong. John was doing his job and I was unhappy about his being gone all the time, but I began to forgive him and I gained much peace. She goes on to tell story after story of small things that required her to rely upon forgiveness, that taught her the power of forgiveness. And so then when this terrible thing happened, she had those deep roots. I'm not sure what your stones may be, what your rocks, what it is that's preventing you from going deeper into the mystery and the wonder of your relationship with Jesus Christ. But friends, do it. Put in the hard work. Make the time. Make the effort. Because I'm telling you right now, if it hasn't already, the sun is coming out. And it's going to be hot. And you are going to be tested. And you are going to be tried. And will you become bitter or resentful or return hate with hate or stop serving? Or will you become like Jesus? Lord, we thank you for teaching us through your word. We ask, God, that our lives would produce an abundant harvest, that we would overflow with the beauty and the gifts and the joy of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.